Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network. You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find the resources and training you need to get started, as well as a community of church planting and multi-site experts to help you thrive. My name is Daniel Lim, and I'm here with Ed Stetzer.
And hello. And still hello. Not change.
And hello.
But no. The people have, you know, I know yet we haven't received them, but just because you're listening a week later, we do record these at the same time. So this gives you time to send in and win a free copy of the Breaking the 200 Barrier online course that I offer at Mission Group. If you will give us a better beginning to this tired. How many episodes have you used the same beginning?
Over 500. It's incredible.
So for just that, just, do you like have the same breakfast every day for 500 days? Do you take your wife out to the same place every day for 500 times? Why are you stuck in this rut? It's like you're a stubborn, hard-headed man, unstable in all your ways, except this.
Wow. That's harsh, Ed.
I'm just telling you. I mean, it's like stunning, your stubbornness. But I think people are going to help us. So don't be afraid to send that in.
Yeah, please.
If you're already sent it in, we've got it. But if you haven't sent it in yet, this is your chance. Send it to daniel@newchurches.com. And Daniel, don't you like hold these out on me because you're stubborn. I want to see them and I want to read them.
Oh, I will forward you every single one of them. And you're going to be like, man, even if I'm spamming you, I'm going to send every single one of them to you. So there you go.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. So we have a very interesting question, actually, in light of the fact that, remember, how long was it? 3 years ago, 4 years ago now, where we launched the Essential Church Planting course. One of the very first sessions, and you can go to newchurches.com and still view that. One of the very first sessions you did was just all around what's changed in church planting and what have you learned in church planting for the 3+ decades that you've been a part of it. So that's why I think this question is particularly interesting. And yes, okay, so here it is. It's from Christopher James. What is something that you used to believe about church planting, but have now changed your mind about?
I used to believe that a church planter would change the introduction to a podcast after a reasonable amount of use. Wow. I was wrong about that. You know, gosh, I'm guessing there's probably a lot of things. I used to believe things that used to be true. For example, I used to believe that if you send out a 50,000 piece mailer, you might have 200 to 300 people come to your church in a single mailing. I used to believe that because it used to be true. I used to believe that you could start a church using telemarketing. Norm Wands, the phones for you. I used to plan it. I planted a church on that. I used to believe that is no longer true. So those are some things I think just changed over time. I used to believe that it was controversial to not put your denominational affiliation in your name. I actually got huge, tremendous pushback on that when we started our first church. And of course, you know, that's not true anymore. That's not controversial anymore. That's pretty normative. So I think part of it is we just change. That's part of what, you know, thinking missiologically about our context is all right, what's different now? What's still true? And how do we take the unchanging gospel into that changing cultural context? Now, what are some things that let's say they were just wrong that I used to believe? I used to believe that I'd have a healthy marriage if Donna took on all the responsibilities nobody else wanted to take on at a church plant, and I about wore her out towards church planting and, you know, just in general. So I used to be that kind of way. I used to think that teams would be the best way to plant churches, and then my experience has been most church plants that send out multiple team members don't get enough passion for evangelism, and they end up sort of forming a new, unless they send a bunch of people, they end up forming kind of their own community rather than reaching the community. So I used to think the teams were like this Shangri-La of perfection. And now I think that they're not, unless they work really, really hard on the process. I don't know. I can't think of any other thing. You've certainly okay. got some. What do you usually think?
Well, I want to double click on that. I was just waiting to see if you're going to throw in a couple more. But that Teams piece, I mean, I still hear people talking about that and talking about planting in teams. And even this one, I mean, it's interesting. Multiple years after their launch, they were co-planters, but now one of them dropped out and it's a solo lead now. It's interesting to see how things are shifting. But why in particular would you say that teams, planting in teams kind of goes against that evangelistic impulse or is makes them less effective?
Well, I think that when you plant and, you know, whatever term you want to use, parachute drop. I was talking to the Anglicans recently, the ACNA Anglicans, and this guy says, yeah, we parachute dropped in. And I said, when did you guys start saying parachute drop anyway? Because you say that to people in sub churches, they look at you like, you really? Like you were on a plane? And yeah, no, that's not what we did. So what I would say is what my experience has been, my observation has been, is that most of the time what happens is, because people are desperate for relationships. I'm desperate for relationships, so I don't have them, right? When we're locked away in Illinois, we're all desperate for relationships. So with that, you go into a community, let's say there are four of you. You got a lead pastor, an associate pastor, a worship leader, and a small groups leader, whatever. And the team goes, and let's say there are four couples, right, just for the sake of ease. They are lonely. They start hanging out with each other. They start building deeper relationships. And actually what happens is they don't have the desperation that Anglican said when he, you know, he talked about being a parachute drop into Georgia. He didn't know anybody. So what do? You've got to know people. And so it forces you to take that next intentional step to build relationships. Whereas if you got four people you can hang around with, you're going to hang around those four people. So this was this is so many years ago. I haven't done it in a while, but we actually found that team-based church plants actually didn't grow as fast. I think 1.5 team members was more of the sweet spot. But again, that was kind of an exploratory quantitative/qualitative survey. And I would be careful to build all kinds of context on that. But what I would say is my observation has been that unless you're really, really driven by evangelism. So when I planted on a team, I've always said, okay, we're not having a small group Bible study together. You go start two Bible studies on Tuesday and Thursday. I'll start two Bible studies on Monday and Tuesday. You go start two Bible studies on Wednesday and Thursday. And we built our own spheres of influence. So I think it's doable. And you know, ARC has done well planting with larger launches like that. Orchard Group has done well on that. But that's kind of my caution, is that I used to think that it was a Shangri-La, and I found out more often than not, it's not actually the case.
Yeah, man, that's so good. That's so good. The thing that probably sticks out the most to me is that bigger is better as it relates to church planting. So I used to think that,
that's true. And I think that's a good one.
Yeah, that you have to be multiple staff to succeed, that you have to be big enough, that you have to have multiple services, that you need to be however many. And we've talked a lot about barriers, a lot about the different types of barriers. And I was like, I used to think that you're not effective as a church plant and you're not effective for the kingdom and you're not leveraging resourcing and, you know, the resourcing in the sense of you're not stewarding well your gifts or whatnot if you're not big. But honestly, when we think about all the different lanes that are required to reach all different types of people, bigger is not always better. And sometimes when you think about your gifting, I mean, you need to have multiple team members to know how to navigate different situations, even as it relates to, let's say, right now, COVID. And I am so grateful that we have a director of operations that is an accountant and he knows how to do all these scenarios. And he has a finance committee of lay guys who are helping him do it. And there's just so much complexity in and around that. Well, here's the thing that no one talks about, you know, more money, more problems, right? I mean, literally. Like, seriously, the bigger
is that actually do you say that to your kids? Is that like a hipster phrase?
No, but the bigger the church is, the more complex it is. And it's so easy to get to mission drift when in reality, I've talked to guys who are like, no, we want to be incarnational. We want to reach these guys that we're playing hockey with. We want to do this. And I'm like, okay, great. Then find a job that you can get paid be bivocational and plant and do this for the long term rather than trying to compare yourself to, you know, the superstar rock star church planters who are at thousands of people in a couple of years.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I think too, that one of the things, and that has really just been overwhelming for a lot of people, is that they're kind of, and I think this has waned over time, but you go back 10, 20 years and everyone wanted to be Rick Warren at one stage, mm-hmm. and everyone wanted to be Mark Driscoll at another stage, and whoever it was. And what I would say is, I think that's waned. I think that's a good thing. I think it's something, some degree, we left behind. I mean, there's still places where people want to be, you know, whatever, Dino Rizzo or Andy Stanley. Yeah. But I do think we're seeing a more helpful, realistic understanding that we want to engage our communities well. Maybe that's in part because of some of the moves we've been able to make, just encouraging people to take more attention to their community and less to kind of this model they've seen in their head of what it looks like in church planning.
Oh, for sure. For sure. And even when you just look at that sense of sustainability, pastoral sustainability and emotional health and spiritual health and everything in and around that, you just think, okay, well, is like, am I going to be fulfilled when this is massive? And when all the, you know, and you kind of run down the list, is that what's going to allow me to find satisfaction? Or is it rather in being a child of God, in resting in his finished work on the cross and allowing him to take care of those details and scaling accordingly, but really submitting those results to him? So I really think the detriment of the celebrity culture, or the celebrity culture, has definitely had a detriment. And I think it's upon church planting and upon ministry and upon Christians in general. So it's definitely one of those things that we need to be aware of.
Yeah, makes sense. And so I would say that there's a lot. I think church planting is kind of reinvented in a lot of people's mind every, you know, 10 years. And I get that. I would also say there are a lot of things that are common that are still kind of overlapping in similarity. There's still a desire to build relationships with people, share the gospel. You're still going to have to think about ecclesiology. You're still going to think about structure. You're still going to think about all those things. But I think the missiological questions do change, particularly as the culture is becoming more irreligious, more secular. Even the idea, for example, of the large launch has shrunk a lot in its usage and practice, in part because there's just not so many, people on the edge, spiritually receptive, waiting to get a mailer or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a good word. All right. Well, thanks again for listening into the New Church's Q&A podcast. If something on this episode sparked an idea, or if you have a follow-up question to anything that we talked about, just submit that in at speakpipe.com/newchurches if you're on your mobile device, or if you're on your computer, just go to newchurches.com and hit the sidebar on the right that says send a voicemail, and we would love to answer it. Thanks again for listening in, and we will catch you next time.